Hey, everybody, what's going on? Here we are, Bay Ragney here. I got my good new friend, Mr. Joey Licious with us. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of music, wrestling, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We're going to have a good time, but before we do that, I just got to tell everybody about this show, or none of these shows don't happen if it's not for our good friend Dan Peasy and his team of professional realtors at Next Home Brandywine. Those realtors, they're going to provide you with guidance, knowledge, and information, whether you're a buyer or a seller. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com. They're based out of Downingtown, Pennsylvania, and it doesn't matter if you're nationwide, they're going to help you either way. But they do mainly service the Philadelphia and surrounding counties. And like I said, nationwide referrals are good because they have offices in 48 of the 50 states. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com. Don't forget to ask for the NH5 listing special, or you can just call them directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. And don't forget to say, hey, Totally Driven Radio sent me. But here he is, the man of the hour. Some might call him Joey. Some might call him Mr. Quesada. Or some might just say, hey, Joey Licious, what's going on?
What's up, dude? How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Dude, I you know, it's crazy. Like, a friend of mine kept asking me, like, you got to interview Joey. He's got this wrestling thing coming out. You're going to love him. And I'm like, all right. And then I, like, start opening the can of worms that is your life. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, you, I thought I had a lot going on.
It's funny because, you know, with the whole COVID thing, we thought everything would slow down. You know, I'm under quarantine. I'm not going out. I'm not touring. I'm not doing a lot of stuff, but I'm getting more done than ever. You know, I try to make the most of every second. So, you know, I just wrote my second book. I just got my show on Amazon Prime called Wrestling with Joey Licious. So I'm busy. I like to stay busy.
That's awesome. Do you know what? People like you are an inspiration to me to keep pounding away doing this grind.
Absolutely. I mean, just because we're home, I think we're showing the world that we can do things from home, especially artists. I know we can't go out and tour. We can't go out and perform live, but, you know, we could do live stream concerts. We can do videos. We could do recordings. We could write. We could promote things. We have so much that we can still offer that I wish more of the big A-list artists would be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny. I was thinking about the other night. I was thinking, like, when this whole quarantine thing hit, you know, all the big artists were kind of jumping on the bandwagon kind of and doing, like, stuff on nationwide TV, you know, whether, you know what I mean? Like, these stay at home things. But, like, that was like the first few weeks. And now where's everybody at now?
Of course, everyone got lazy and they're like, all right, well, there's no need to do this. Hopefully they're still keeping busy. Hopefully everyone's keeping busy. I know it's hard to do. There's a lot of distractions at home, whether it's kids, it's family, it's yard work, it's cooking, whatever it is. Just stay busy. I mean, I think this is a new world now. I don't think it's maybe ever going back to the way it was.
Right.
So, you know, I think people have to take advantage and, you know, do things in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, let me say this too. I have to get this out of the way before we really get into the nitty gritty. I'm going to ask you right now, being, you know, you're an Italian from Brooklyn. I'm an Italian from Philly. The most important question of this whole interview, I'm going to ask you right now, and it could be the hardest question. Is it gravy or sauce?
It's a very good question. So growing up for me, it was always gravy. So growing up, I always called it gravy. You know, now that I'm older I'm married an Italian girl and I'm still a fully Italian family, I think I've reverted to the sauce more than gravy. But growing up, it was always gravy, mom's gravy. How about you?
Yep. Same, gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. People get so twisted.
Oh, people go crazy. Ah, it's not gravy. It's brown. Gravy is brown and you put it on meat.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, yeah, I do put it on meat. I put it on my meatballs.
Exactly. My meatballs and my sausage.
Exactly right.
Oh, it's awesome. Too funny. Yeah, actually, like I said, I'm down here in Nashville, but my girlfriend who's been down here in Nashville for 13 years, she's actually from Brooklyn, her and her family.
Oh, that's great. What part of Brooklyn?
Canarsie.
Oh, sure. My father's family grew up in Canarsie.
Nice, nice. Cool. So, all right. So, dude, so you're in Romulic so much. So, I mean, between the music, TV stuff, acting, now with this wrestling thing, author. Like, what the hell was the thing that came first? Was, I'm guessing it was the music?
Yeah, I mean, I started off, I saw Kiss at Madison Square Garden in 1979. I got hooked on rock and roll, you know, in so many words. I all I ever wanted to do after seeing that concert was be a drummer for the rest of my life. And, nice. You know, I pursued that dream forever. And, you know, luckily I did get to live my dream. I was a drummer. I toured with my band ZO2. We toured all over the world. We toured with our favorite band, Kiss, that got me into music. And, you know, it was a dream come true. I've been in the music business ever since. I've been on Broadway. I've done Broadway shows. I've done a lot of touring. I'm currently playing with Eric Martin from Mr. Big.
Okay.
And just a lot of fun. But, you know, obviously, as we get older, especially now with COVID, you know, you see the limitations in live music and just the music scene in general. And my old band, ZO2, we had our own TV show called Z-Rock. And it was on the IFC Independent Film Channel for 2 seasons. And it was a scripted show, not a reality show. It was a comedy based on our band. And it was about a kids band during the day, rock band at night. And it's really what we did for a living for a long, long time. Even when we were on the road with bands like Kiss and Twisted Sister and Poison and all these crazy bands, our day jobs would be playing to little kids at bar mitzvahs, at birthday parties. So we actually got a TV show out of that. An agent from one of the big agencies saw us and they said, "This is crazy. We have to do something with you guys." And we had our own TV show.
You know, it's funny because I'm so late to the whole party of the whole Z-Rock thing. Like, I remember constantly, like, people talking about it, like being out at clubs in Philly, seeing bands and stuff. And there was the buzz about it. But I didn't have, like, IFC. So I was, like, never saw it. And, you know, years later, you know, I'm like, okay. But now, like, you know, getting ready to talk to you, I'm, like, going back and watch. I'm like, holy shit, this is freaking hysterical. And then I'm reading, like, basically it's kind of based off a true thing. Like, so you guys were really doing the kids band during the day, like, but actually it's genius. Like, that whole idea is genius, because I used to think that to myself, like, you know, raising kids growing up, I'm seeing, like, the Wiggles and stuff like that.
Right,
like,
right.
You're like, these guys are making a killing.
And that's how it started. Like I said, we literally played a birthday party and an agent for one of these big agencies were there. And, you know, we would dress like rock and roll, striper shirts, rock and roll shirts. We wouldn't look like the Wiggles. And the guy came up to us and said, "Wow, you guys don't look like a kids band. You don't look like the Wiggles. What are you doing playing this birthday party?" We said, "This is just our day gig. You should come check us out." We were playing Times Square later that night at BB King's. Sure enough, the guy came down, checked us out. It turned out that he was in the TV division at this big agency, not the concert division, which we were hoping for. You know, we're never thinking TV show. We're, you know, we're a bunch of schmucks from Brooklyn. We don't know about anything about TV shows. And he told us, he said, "Why don't we do something in the TV landscape? Try to come up with some concepts and let's do it." And we said, "Well, the concept is right here. Kids band by day, rock band at night." And, you know, long story short, a couple years later, we had everything ready to go. We filmed the pilot. IFC loved it. Got all these crazy guest stars on board with us, from Joan Rivers to Gilbert Gottfried to Sebastian Bach and Chris Jericho and Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. All these, you know, rock stars and comedians would come on the show and play exaggerated versions of themselves.
Was the Sebastian Bach version really exaggerated?
he might have actually been toned down for the show.
But now, like, that whole thing, like, when this starts happening, like, what does that do for the band ZO2? Does it start to blow you guys up even more? Like,
yes and no. Yes, in the sense of course, opportunities became so readily available to us. We got a lot of big tours. We did some more runs with Kiss. We did some more runs with the Scorpions and Cinderella and all these other crazy bands. But the funniest part that we would find is this whole new audience would come out to see us all over the country. And when they would sell out these clubs and these theaters and stuff, they would come up to us after the show and say, "We had no idea you were a real band. We watch your TV show called Z-Rock every week. And we saw, you know, in the local paper and or whatever, some advertisement that you were playing at, you know, so-and-so theater in our town. And we couldn't believe that you were actually a real band." So that's, like, the funniest part about the show. We had this giant fan base from the show. You know, we were averaging over 1 million viewers a week. And a lot of them didn't realize we were a real band.
That's what I thought. Like, I honestly thought it was like a band that was put together for the show. I didn't think it was a real band. Wow.
Yeah, and listen, I totally get it. Trust me, we weren't actors before we started. We're not actors now. We were just being ourselves on the show. Like I said, with three goofballs from Brooklyn, you know, ragging on each other, or, you know, putting us in these weird circumstances or weird predicaments. And it's just how we would naturally, you know, talk our way out of things, or, you know, badmouth someone or laugh at a joke. It was just a natural, we used to call it reacting rather than acting.
But how about, you know, you have the ZO2 band at night, but the Z Brothers band during the day. Did the show hurt that business?
Well, it was funny enough, we almost didn't have to. I mean, we love doing kids' music. We still all do it. You know, Paulie does it. Unfortunately, David Z, the other member of our band, passed away a couple of years ago in a tragic accident. But Paulie still teaches kids. I still teach kids. We still do that separately. It's still a passion of ours. We love to do children's entertaining. But back then, you know, our focus was strictly on our rock band. You know, the kid stuff was literally just to pay the bills. And it did pay the bills way better than the rock stuff at first. Trust me.
Sure.
But,
sure.
You know, once we got the TV show, our time was so stretched. You know, we were playing shows on the weekends and filming all week long. You know, we had 17, 18 hour days sometimes on set. And then we would literally go straight from the set out to Ohio, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hour drive and do a gig. So we had no time for the kids band. Took a backseat for many, many years because of that.
Wow. Now, how about, were you involved in helping write the show as well?
Yeah, so the show, you know, technically it didn't have writers. It was basically based on real life. And, you know, we would come up with these circumstances, some of them based on weird stuff that happened to us, whether it was on the road or at kids' parties. And then some stuff, you know, our producers and our you know, kind of writers would come up with certain scenarios, but they would just be quasi scenarios to get from point A to Z. And then our dialogue would kind of lead where the scene went and how we went along with the rest of the show.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, did you guys think to yourself, like, like you said, you were reacting, not acting, but did you think to yourself going into it, like, we're not freaking actors. How are we going to do this?
Well, I mean, yes. When we first did the pilot, you know, again, it's not like we were nervous or anything. We all had really big personalities. We were already on the road with, you know, some of these bands. We already felt comfortable in front of cameras and doing interviews and stuff like that. So, you know, when they called action, the only thing that took getting used to was kind of not blocking the camera or not blocking the light. Doing the stuff in front of the camera, being exaggerated versions of yourself, was easy. You know, I was playing Joey from Brooklyn. I wasn't playing, you know, the rocket scientist trying to, you know, discover something. I was playing myself, an exaggerated version of myself, but I was using my own lines. I was using my own mannerisms. So it felt very natural to us, especially because the three of us were such good friends and they were brothers. We had so much time already spent together. It was natural to talk amongst each other. So acting was never a problem for us.
So the show went on for 2 seasons. What happened? Did IFC want to pull the plug on it? Did you guys want to pull the plug?
So basically what happened was, some of your viewers have seen the show. You've seen a little bit of the show. The first season was very racy. It was very, you know, groupies and some nudity and a lot of cursing and with these crazy comedians cursing. And it was pretty raunchy. And then the second season, IFC was looking to go more ad-based. It was becoming a little bit more user-friendly, you know, for the cable network. And, you know, the second season, we cleaned it up quite a bit. And then the third season, we were trying to get sponsors and stuff for the show once again. And IFC was having a tough time selling the show to all their sponsors because of the raciness of the first 2 seasons. So, you know, it just wind up fizzling out. You know, we had a great, great time doing it. And, you know, unfortunately we didn't get picked up for the third season because of that, but we had a great time doing it. You could stream it on my YouTube channel right now at Joey Quesada at YouTube. You could buy the DVDs on Amazon. They're both seasons are available on DVD. It's so much fun. The DVDs has so many like behind the scenes bloopers with all these guest stars. It's so much fun.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, how about the band afterwards? Like, did you guys start to tail off? Like, what happened to the band after that?
So the band after that, we were still together maybe another 4 years after that.
Okay.
And, you know, then things started to slow down a little bit, just like anything. You know, we had a peak. It was tough to, you know, match the peak of being on our own TV show, having a million viewers a week, and out on the road all the time, touring with all these big bands because of the success of the TV show. So, you know, we wind up slowing down a little bit. I had a kid, my first child. I wound up having my second child. One of the singer, Paulie, wanted to move to LA. So we kind of fizzled out. We never officially broke up. We kind of called it a hiatus. And eventually we always thought we'd get back together and, you know, maybe relaunch the show or do something. But like I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, our bass player, David Z, passed away, and we never got to do any of that stuff that we always thought we would do.
Yeah. Like the whole thing with David Z, I mean, just a horrible, horrible freaking accident, man. I'm sorry. First of all, condolences to you and Paulie's family and all. I mean, and actually you guys just recently, I interviewed Steve Brown from Trickster a couple weeks ago, and he was getting ready to do, a thing with you with Rubik's Cube or something, a benefit for.
So every year we do a benefit show for David. And unfortunately this year we couldn't do the benefit show because of COVID.
Right.
So what his brother Paulie did, he put on this magnificent online streaming event with hundreds and hundreds of celebrities of, you know, whether they were being interviewed or they donated a song or a performance for the show. And it just became such a big event. They raised, I think, over $30,000 for his scholarship foundation.
Wow.
And it was an amazing event. Steve was a part of it. Steve, I play with Steve with Eric Martin in the Eric Martin band right now.
Right.
So we're bandmates currently. And he was a great part of that. He did something with his band, Rubik's Cube. I did something with Constantine Maroulas and Angus Clark from TSO. We did a song called Cry. So you can see that on the David Z Foundation page on Facebook. You can watch the whole event. It's like 5 hours of nonstop music and stars of just every genre you can really think of.
Wow. So after ZO2 starts to fade away, what do you do then? Because then I saw you were playing with Trans-Siberian Orchestra for like 10 years.
Right. So I was actually a member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I've been their backup drummer for almost 15 years now. So,
holy crap.
Yep. Still currently too. I don't know if they're touring this year, but that's always been in my wheelhouse. And, you know, after ZO2 started to fade away, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do too. I had that acting bug for a little bit. And that's kind of when I started writing this show, Wrestling with Joey Licious. It's a show based on me as a wannabe wrestler that never made it. I'm currently in my 40s. I live at home with my mom. And these wrestling legends from the 80s and 90s appear to me in my imagination. And they kind of give me this always bad advice. It's never good advice. And it always leaves me in this awkward situation, whether it's in front of my family, my friends, my girlfriend. And it's just a wacky comedy. We like to think of it as like a cross between Curb Your Enthusiasm and Rocky.
First off, it's freaking hysterical. I sat and watched it last night. There's what, like 5 or 6 episodes on Amazon Prime right now. I told you in Messenger, I used to be a pro wrestler. I was a pro wrestler for 15
Amazing.
Years. I was in ECW. It's one of the original Dudley Brothers.
Amazing.
So I see like Mick Foley, an old friend,
right.
there. Jimmy Snuka, who I wrestled one time.
Oh, you're kidding. That's amazing.
Yeah. Funny thing with Roddy Piper, who's also in your show. I was doing an autograph convention in Philly, you know, probably like 10 years ago. And Piper was there, and he did like a Piper's Pit segment and all. And I was getting interviewed by a person for their YouTube channel, and we're doing the interview, and Piper comes blasting through, and I was like the mark in me just totally marked out. I'm like, Roddy Piper.
I mean, obviously, unfortunately, Piper and Jimmy have both passed away, you know, since we filmed. We started filming these shorts a couple years ago, and you know, the intention of these shorts were to get a full length series out of it, and we wanted to, you know, we were pitching it all over network, we were doing everything. And unfortunately, right before COVID hit, we did have a production deal on the table for the full length episodes for the show. And, you know, the deal with COVID, because all the production and Hollywood and everything got shut down, we just got put on hold. You know, luckily, Amazon Prime picked up the shorts. Hopefully, you know, they're going to produce more and full length episodes of the show for Amazon Prime once all the virus clears up. But in the meantime, what we did was the my fellow creator and myself, my friend Chris Lynn, who created the show with me, we took the script from season one and basically made a novel out of it. And okay. What we're doing is, you know how when Star Wars comes out or one of these big Marvel movies comes out, sometimes they release the novelization before the show.
Yeah.
So what we did was we're going to release the novelization of the first season of Wrestling with Joe Licious. I actually have a preview copy. This is the first preview copy of it right here. It actually says not for sale. See that?
Nice.
This is going to be available.
Oh, crap.
In bookstores, Amazon. It's going to be, it's the full first season, crazy guest stars. It's, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Hulk Hogan, big wrestling stars throughout the show appear to me to try to help me make my dreams come true to become a professional wrestler. And that's going to be like the preview of the series that hopefully will be on Amazon Prime, hopefully sometime next year.
So I got to ask, being this whole thing, how big of a wrestling fan are you? I mean, is this something that was also going around in your mind? Did you actually want to be a professional wrestler at any time?
So when I grew up, all I ever dreamt of was Kiss and wrestling. That was my life. drums, Kiss, and wrestling. And
you sure we're not related?
But I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up in the early 80s. When I saw WWF television on Saturday mornings, I was hooked forever. Jimmy Snuka was my very first professional wrestler that I absolutely loved. He was everything to me. And then, as the 80s rolled around and Hulk Hogan became the guy, he really turned, my love of wrestling into an obsession. I was actually at Madison Square Garden to see him win the title for the very first time against the Iron Sheik, January 23rd, 1984. So that'll tell you how big of a wrestling fan I am. I could jot off those dates, at the top of my head. But growing up, I always wanted to either be a wrestler or a drummer. And I was a really big kid. I was basically this size, about 5'11", 180 in the fifth grade. Wow. And, I was a monster compared to my friends. But then all of a sudden, I just stopped growing. And, the dreams of becoming a wrestler started to go down and the drummer started going up because, I didn't have anywhere to practice the craft of wrestling back then. I didn't have the size back then. So years later, after I did Z-Rock, like I said, I got the acting bug. I said, okay, how can I live that dream out now too? I've already lived the dream of being the professional drummer that I always wanted to be. How can I live this dream of being a wrestler without, breaking my leg and breaking my arms? So
sure.
I recruited these legends. We filmed with Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, the Iron Sheik, Tito Santana, Mick Foley, all of these guys. And a lot of the other big name wrestlers are on board with the show. Guys like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan and Jake the Snake Roberts. All these guys are going to be a part of the show once we start filming. And, to be on set with these guys and getting put in a sleeper hold by Roddy Piper or getting hit in the head with a coconut by Jimmy Snuka, it was really a dream come true. It was almost better for me than actually becoming a professional wrestler.
Yeah, it's funny. As I was watching, I was trying, at first, all right, the Mick Foley episode is my favorite. And then I see the Sheik one. I'm like, I don't know. It's close.
Right.
But they're all freaking hysterical. I mean, it's truly you can see it's like the little kid in you living out those moments and dreams.
It absolutely is. And working with these guys it was such a pleasure. Mick Foley was, they're all different levels of professionalism and wackiness.
Yeah.
Mick Foley was super professional. He helped, write some of the dialogue, and he was so into, in the episode, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but we have scenes with him with all his wrestling characters. All the faces of Foley are in there. Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, Mankind, Dude Love, all of them appear in the episode with me at the same time. So, we use some trickery and magic to make that happen. And then guys like the Iron Sheik, who was, we didn't even know that we were going to get him to film until the day we filmed. I talked to his manager for months scheduling the filming. And he was just like, listen, the Sheik's crazy. I don't know if he'll be able to do it. I'm like, well, how can I, my crew is coming. We're going to film. He's like, well, that day, if he's into it, we're going to film. So, I tell this story all the time. I actually had to, the day of filming, I had my crew set up. The shot was all set. I literally went over to the Sheik. He was confined to a wheelchair at this time. And I grabbed his wheelchair, didn't even ask anything, and just took him onto the set. And so we started filming right like that. And the scene, you know, you saw the scene. The scene actually takes place in a men's bathroom. And as we're explaining the scene to the Sheik, you know, we're about to call action. We turn around and the Sheik is at the urinal with his pants down. And we're like, whoa, 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 Sheik, you know, we're acting here. We don't really have to, you know, use the urinal. And he goes, oh, I didn't know, brother. You know, he figured, he was like a method actor. He was really trying to take a piss right before we set action.
Oh, he's a piece of work. I did some road trips through Jersey with him, and a lot of drinking and a lot of laughs.
Again, I've heard nightmare stories too, but he was a pleasure to us. He was so gracious. We loved every minute of it. He was one of those guys that didn't stick to anything we wrote in the script. He went off and he did his own thing. He did so much of his own dialogue that what we had to do was we had to come back a different day and refilm my dialogue back to him because we had to rewrite the whole episode. So it was nothing like we wrote, but it turned out 10 times better.
So you have like a lot more stuff already filmed then.
We have a lot of stuff in the can. We're ready. Again, we're ready to produce more episodes. We're ready. Like I said, the whole season is written totally out. We had every script written. The novel is ready to go. Every single episode is in this novel right here. And it ends on a cliffhanger. You're going to see what happens at the end. All of that stuff. A lot of it is filmed already. A lot of it we still have to film. And hopefully, you know, once COVID clears up and we're back into production, we'll be able to get that back on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, because I was wondering, like, when you announced, like, last week or 2 weeks ago that it's now on Amazon Prime, I'm like, all right, cool. I can sit and watch this. And I go to watch it, and I'm like, oh, but there's only, like, 2 and 3, 4 minute episodes. I'm like,
right, right.
I got bummed out. I'm like, I want to see more.
And again, like I said, hopefully they will be coming. You know, we were super excited when Amazon picked it up for distribution. You know, we were super happy. We've been trying to get a deal. Like I said, right before COVID, we had a production deal. And because of COVID, it went on hold. And luckily, you know, a lot of these streaming services right now are dying for content because there's no new productions coming. So we got in touch with Amazon. They love the product. They put it out for us. They're distributing it for us. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, if the reviews are good, please, anyone who watches the episodes, leave a good review. Reviews and views show Amazon that the show is popular and they'll order more episodes.
Nice. Nice. So now the book, when will the book come out?
The book is ready to go. This, like I said, this is just a preview copy. I actually got this just to make sure that the format is good and the layout is good and everything looks really good. All I have to do is basically okay with the publisher and it's ready to print. So we're looking to have it out the latest September 1st, but it should be out officially sometime in August.
Wow. That's awesome. So now you have another book too. I saw it's called Start with a Dream.
I do. That was, I released that last year. That's my autobiography. And a lot of the stuff we just talked about, it's basically about that. It starts off with my trip to see Kiss in 1979 at Madison Square Garden. And it takes you through a journey through the 80s. It's a real nostalgia book. It you know, from running to the record store to check out the new records or, you know, listening to your Walkman all day long. It, you know, makes you really live your childhood again throughout the 80s. And it follows me, you know, through my career as far as all my bands through the 80s and my love of wrestling and finally meeting ZO2 and getting into ZO2 and, you know, behind the scenes stories of us on tour with Kiss. And behind the scenes stories of me filming some of these episodes of Wrestling with Joey Licious, the whole Sheik story that I just told you is in there, you know, much more elaborate, you know, there was a time where I was literally running with the Sheik in the wheelchair and Nikolai Volkoff was chasing us saying, can I be in the show too? Can I be in the show too? So he wasn't originally in the episode. We wrote him in that day. So as you see at the end of the episode, Nikolai Volkoff's in there too.
That's funny.
So that's what that book is about. That's available on Amazon right now. The audio book is available on Amazon and iTunes. I narrate the audio book. It has tons of demos and clips from all my TV shows. It's just a feel good story of, you know, pursuing your dreams, not stopping no matter what obstacles in front of you. Keep going until you fulfill your dreams and until you make that dream a reality.
Nice. Now, what is it for you? How was it for you being like, I can't imagine. And there's so many of, you know, peers that have done this, but you've done it as well. How does that kid go from seeing Kiss Madison Square Garden 1979 to years later having the opportunity to open for them? What the frig does that feel like?
Well, even in my book, so my Peter Criss is who I saw in 1979, who made me want to play drums. And Peter actually wrote the foreword to my autobiography.
Nice.
So, you know, my whole life really came full circle when I wrote this autobiography, from seeing him in 1979 to actually have him write my foreword to my autobiography was, you know, mind-boggling to me. And, you know, the stories that I tell in the book from when we first got on tour with Kiss, it's the little kid in the candy store. We were three kids, you know, in our late 20s and put on the road for the very first time. We didn't have a record deal. I think we were the first and only unsigned band to ever tour with Kiss. We were put in on this big tour, Rock the Nation, around the country. We did, you know, 40 or 50 dates with them in front of, you know, 10 to 15,000 fans every night. And, you know, believe it or not, that wasn't the best part of it. The best part was literally just becoming friends with them and hanging out with them and catering every day. And, you know, there's parts in my book where I tell stories of us playing wiffle ball with Kiss in the back parking lot one afternoon, or, you know, debating with Gene over, you know, songs on Kiss albums and what guitar tunings they had in the 80s, and arguing with Gene, or having eating contests in the catering and them cheering us on. And it was just so much fun that, you know, that stuff became more book worthy and more memory worthy than the actual shows. I loved more than anything playing with them, don't get me wrong, in front of those fans, but every day hanging out with them, knowing the next morning you're waking up and doing it all over again, it was a dream come true.
Yeah, that's mind blowing, man. That's so amazing. So, all right. So what's on your table now with, you know, again, you know, we're still under a semi quarantine. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 to 6 months. So what are you doing now? What's on your plate now besides, you know, the book's ready to come out, promoting Joey Licious more?
So again, obviously the book takes up a lot of my time, even though it's done. You know, now I'm going to have to do a whole promotion run virtually this time. I'm going to have to do a promotion run. And, you know, that's going to take up so much of my time. But what I also do, like we mentioned earlier, I love to teach kids. I still give drum lessons virtually. I give some lessons in person. I teach at School of Rock. I teach at a lot of different schools, drum lessons and music. I love teaching. I love educating children. I love talking about the music business. I do music masterclasses about business and what the do's and don'ts of the business. You know, I've done a lot of do's, but I've also had a lot of don'ts. So I love to pass on all the stuff that I've learned through my 30-year career to the kids of the future, because these kids, some of these kids are so good that, you know, they'll blow your mind. And I want to make sure that they don't waste some of the years that I wasted on, you know, doing things the wrong way. I want to give them a little bit of my knowledge and pass it on to them.
Right. Yeah. You know, the whole thing with, you know, these schools of rock all around the country and all, the talent of the kids these days, it's just, it's amazing. It truly is.
I mean, these kids, again, obviously I'm primarily a drum instructor, but I'm also the music director at one of the School of Rocks here in New Jersey. And, you know, it's so funny that, you know, some of these drummers, you know, I'm teaching them licks that I could have never learned at their age. I just learned them maybe a couple of years ago, some crazy Bonham triplets, or, you know, Hot for Teacher from Van Halen. You know, I had this girl group do Hot for Teacher for Van Halen, spot on. Young teenage girls play Hot for Teacher perfectly. It was like, where were these kids, you know, when I was growing up? You know, I was in my garage playing In My Dreams from Doc in the Wrong Way, or Living After Midnight the Wrong Way, you know, messing it up, out of key, out of tune, too fast. I wish I had instructors like me and schools like School of Rock to tell me, hey, slap, slap, you're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little jealous of the kids today. I'll say that.
Listen, they have the world at their fingertips. It's a harder business today, because I don't think you can make the living you could have back then, just because of streaming and stuff like that. You're never going to sell records like you sold back in the 70s and the 80s. But they also have all the advantages too. They have YouTube, they have streaming, they have so many other outlets. And that's also what I teach about in my masterclasses. Don't limit yourself. Look what I've done. I went from, you know, the name of my book is Start With The Dream, A Drummer's Journey from Rock and Roll to TV, to Broadway, which I was also on. I played in a Broadway show for almost 5 years. So
what show did you do? You know,
it was called The Great Comet of 1812, starring Josh Groban. And, wow. You know, you just don't limit yourself. There's no reason why, because you play rock and roll, you can't play theater and you can't be an actor and you can't have a streaming show and you can't write a book. Why can't you do everything?
Right. I'm with you.
Yep. So, and that's what today's day and age, you can really do that. It's all at your fingertips.
What is there else like in your sights that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
Oh, I mean, listen, the sky's the limits. You know, I've always wanted to do a full solo album of my own material, singing, playing drums. There's so much more to do. I'd love to do a follow-up to my autobiography one day. I'd love to do a lot more seasons of Wrestling with Joey Licious. I think once, you know, the general public sees it and realizes the fun that was 80s wrestling, you know, you know it better than anyone. Wrestling today is it's still good. Don't get me wrong, but it's missing some kind of magic that the 80s wrestling had. And I think it's mostly because of the personalities back then that they had the freedom to be themselves. And, you know, today so much of the stuff is scripted and in a box that you don't get the freedom. Whereas my show Wrestling with Joey Licious, I'm giving these guys the freedom to be whatever they want on camera. Here's, you know, it's filmed basically the same way that Z-Rock was filmed, as far as here's the outline of the script. I want you to kind of get us over here, but be yourself. Tito Santana, be yourself. Roddy Piper, be yourself. Hulk Hogan, be yourself and get us to that next level. Because these guys are superstars. They did live interviews for, you know, almost a decade. They're magic in front of the camera. So that's kind of, you know, obviously my focus is mainly on that show right now. But there's just so many other things I want to do.
Interesting. I can't wait to see what you got cooking next.
Thanks, dude. Listen, I appreciate it. I hope everyone goes and checks out the show on Amazon Prime. You can just, if you go on the search bar, just type in Joey Licious. It's the easiest way to find it. All the episodes will come up. Please write a review if you can. You can go on even the regular Amazon site. You don't even need Prime. If you just go on Amazon.com and type in Joey Licious, you can just leave reviews and I would be eternally grateful.
Is there any orders they should watch them or just watch them however they want?
No, just people have been asking me that all week, believe it or not, because they just got released last week on Amazon Prime. So, no, there's no particular order. You know, I'm not sure if you watched them in any particular order. I would suggest maybe watching the Roddy Piper one first. And then
it was the first one I watched.
Then it really doesn't matter. But there's not a continuous storyline in the shorts. In the season, there's a continuous storyline that you have to follow the season again. These shorts are plucked out of the season, and you'll see most of those shorts in this book.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to see more. Seriously, like I was like, damn, like I wanted to see the whole thing of the training of Joey Licious and the whole love of Rocky and your mom smacking you around a little.
Oh, we take a page right out of Rocky again with the season one. Again, if you get a chance when the book comes out, I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's a really short book. It's only about 230 pages. It's a flyby. It's a fun story of my rise, my eventual, you know, success, and maybe even another fall and maybe another rise. We'll see. But, you know, it's along the way. It's all the wrestlers that I meet and maybe, you know, my shot at the big time. Do I blow it? Do I not blow it? We'll have to see.
When you were approaching all these, you know, wrestling superstars, were any of them kind of like, what the hell is this?
Well, it's funny you said that. So, as I mentioned earlier, Jimmy Snuka was my first favorite wrestler of all time. When I saw him go off the top rope and do this, you know, I was captivated. His feud with Don Morocco was really what got me hooked on professional wrestling. This must have been around 83-ish, I'm going to guess, somewhere around that area. And he was actually the first person that came on board with the show. You know, I had already done Z-Rock. I already established a little bit of a name for myself in the TV industry. So, you know, I started reaching out to some of the wrestlers. We actually had Chris Jericho on Z-Rock. So there was an episode with Chris Jericho on Z-Rock. So, you know, the wrestlers were kind of familiar with that. And, you know, when I reached out to some of these wrestlers, Jimmy's wife, Carol, was absolutely so pleasant to work with. And she was on board with her and Jimmy immediately. They loved the concept. They loved the script that I sent them. I kind of sent them a little bit of Z-Rock to show them what the show would kind of feel like. And they were just on board. They just loved the idea. We spent 2 days filming with Jimmy. He was an absolute gentleman. You know, we filmed in a park in the up in the Bronx, and you know, we were on a park bench. That's kind of where the scene takes place, as you probably saw. And you know, we couldn't film because so many people were driving by, beeping their horns, screaming, "Superfly, Superfly!" Because he still looks like Snooki. He had the headband. Yeah. He's still, you know, in the scenes, he's doing this and stuff. So everyone knew him. So he was so easy to film with that once we got him and we edited that clip of him and his short that's on Amazon Prime right now, all of the other wrestlers just fell in line. And not only did they just fall in line, they were reaching out to me. You know, it's such a small community that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these 80s wrestlers are not working, which is an absolute travesty because these guys are, they're superstars. And, you know, when they heard about this show based around 80s wrestling starring, you know, I bill it as starring the legends of wrestling. And it really does star the legends of wrestling and this schmuck right here. And, you know, all of them kind of fell in line after that. I was, you know, I would wake up in the morning and have a text from Ric Flair or a voicemail from Jimmy Hart saying, "Hey, baby, I got to be part of the show. I love it." So, you know, it was such an amazing experience. I still have most of those voicemails saved, by the way. So all of them after Jimmy just came on board like that, especially Mick, who, you know, as you know, Mick Foley's favorite wrestler too is Jimmy Snuka. And when he saw that episode, he was absolutely thrilled to be a part of the show.
That's awesome. I can tell you a quick Snuka story. When I wrestled him, it was I was like a year in the business. It was 93, I think. And it was a tag team. Me and my tag team partner, we wrestled Snuka and Morocco.
What? What the hell? Is that match online?
Yeah, it's on it was on ECW TV.
Oh my god, dude, I gotta see
WWE Network.
I probably saw it back in the day. I'm not even realizing.
Probably. So they you know, we get there and we see on the thing, the lineup, and we see we're wrestling Snuka and Morocco. We're like, oh shit. And so we go over to them, we're like, "Hey, you know, hey guys, we introduce yourself, you know, what do you want to do?" They're like, "Don't worry, brother. Don't worry. We'll take care of everything."
That was like the ring.
Yeah, that was like 3 hours before the show. We're like, all right.
Right.
2 hours go by. We go back to him. "Hey, you know, you guys have any idea what you want to do?" "Don't worry, brother. Don't worry.
No.
We're like, okay. We're at the curtain. We're getting ready to go out. We're like, so what are we doing? And the ref comes by. He's getting ready to go out. He goes, "Jump them before the bell." We're like, all right. So we go out. The gate come out. They're doing their – we jumped them. All of a sudden, they turn around and Snuka pairs up with me. And he grabbed me by the forehead. He goes, "You dumb motherfucker." I said, "I'm dead. I'm dead." I thought he was going to kill me.
What? They didn't know?
Oh, yeah, they know. But I was just like, I'm dead. I'm dead. My whole life flashed before my eyes.
How did the match go? How did it turn out? I mean,
they squashed us. They squashed us and we rolled out and they, you know. Yeah,
but again, dream come, dude. That's amazing.
Yeah, come
what a great
on.
Story.
10 years earlier, I'm watching the those two in the biggest feud of wrestling of all time.
Well, where the hell is your book?
I've been asked that many times. I
dude,
can write a book.
Do?
Believe me.
Well, listen, take my advice. We're in COVID right now. It's a great time to start. Just start jotting down. So you don't have to write it in order. You don't have to just start writing down some stories, and you're gonna see before you know it, you're gonna be in front of that computer, and you're gonna have a book written.
See, I was the opposite of you. Like, where you wanted to be the musician or be a wrestler and you were a musician and you stuck with the musician.
Right.
I was a musician and my backup plan was to be a wrestler. Like, I was always a big fat guy. And by the time like 1989, 90 rolled around, I was like, man, I'm like 250 pounds. I'm like, you don't see no fat glam bands, fat guys in a glam band. So I sold all my equipment and went to wrestling school.
Dude, we basically have parallel lives. It's insane.
Yeah.
We're like, I couldn't do this, so I went this way. You couldn't do this, so you went that way.
Yep.
Incredible. Incredible.
It's funny.
Great. It's so great. And again, it's so important, again, that my first book, like I said, Start With A Dream, that's what it's about. It's about having a passion when you were a kid and a dream. And nothing that anyone can tell you is going to stop you from making that dream a reality. And, you know, you did it. I did it. There's so many people out there that did it. And just because if someone's 50, 60 years old, doesn't mean that that dream is over. Go out there and search for it. Why not? Go get it.
Right. Absolutely. And then the funny thing is, in wrestling, then I got hurt. So I was out of wrestling for a little bit. So I started doing the music again. And then amazing. I had a band. The band was called the Dead Gerber Babies.
What a great name.
That's a book right there.
I mean, dude, come on, get writing. Come on, I'll help you edit.
Let's do it. Come on.
I'm ready.
That would be season two, Wrestling with Joey Licious. You can throw me in there.
Dude, again, seriously, I'd love to have you. Once we start filming, I'd love to have you. I mean, obviously, Bubba, I've talked to be a part of the show already. I've talked to Devon even. You know, these nice. Guys, you know, certain guys that are under contract with other organizations, it's a little bit harder to get them on board. But any independent guys that aren't affiliated with anywhere, even like the legends that I'm having, aren't really that affiliated with anyone. They might be under legend contracts, but they can do my show, luckily enough. Yeah. So, you know, we're trying to reach out to everyone we can. We love all anyone and everyone to be a part of this.
Nice. That's awesome, man. Cool. So everybody needs to go to Amazon Prime and look up Joey Licious and just be prepared to freaking laugh.
Absolutely. And again, they're short, so they're fun. Yeah. 5-6 minute episodes. You know, they start, they finish, always have a fun ending. They're really easy to watch. Please leave a review if you get a chance. Be if you do love them, be on the lookout for the full-length novelization, which will be out later this month. It's nonstop hilarity. Again, if you grew up in New York or any or Philly, anywhere like that, you're going to get so much out of, you know, the Brooklyn and the city aspect of the characters and, you know, the other characters in the show, whether it's my mom or the priest, you know, giving me a hard time. And, you know, it's me basically following the Rocky storyline of hopefully maybe getting a shot at the big title one day.
That's awesome. Joey, man, this has been amazing talking to you. Like, I'm happy to say I know you now and happy to talk to you and happy to know Joey Licious.
Dude, again, thank you so much for having me. Anytime, I'd love to come back. Please, maybe when the book comes out, we'll talk more about it. After I'll send you a copy. Give it a quick read, and you know, I'd love a nice review from a real wrestler.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm gonna throw some Amazon reviews on there for the show too.
Amazing, dude. Thank you so much. Please, and all your listeners, please go over to Amazon.com or Amazon Prime. Leave a review for the show. Each episode, you can leave their own review. So please, if you can, leave one for each episode. It will really help me a lot. Thanks.
Awesome. Absolutely, Joey. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, brother. I'll see you soon.
You got it.
Later, dude.